Hello and welcome to the DevOps Fundamentals series. In this series, I'll be joined by a few Microsoft experts, and we're going to help you make sense of the DevOps culture. And also later on in the other episodes, we're also going to cover some of its main practices, the ones that we've identified that are more common. This episode, we're going to cover an introduction to DevOps, and then further on, we're going to drill into specific DevOps practices. So just to introduce myself, I am Thiago Almeida. You can find me on Twitter at NZThiago. I'm a senior technical evangelist here at Microsoft, and I've been talking to customers, working with, and presenting about DevOps for the past year here. And you can also find me on my blog at talmeida.net. And for this episode, I'm joined by David Tesar. David, do you want to introduce yourself?
There we go. Yeah, sure. Yeah, great. David Tesar, senior technical evangelist at Microsoft, also focused on DevOps. I, though, have the ops background. You could watch episode 0 of DevOps Dimension show if you want to get more history on Thiago and I here. But nonetheless, I lead our DevOps technical working group and here to help you today learn a little bit about Microsoft's view on DevOps.
Cool. All right, well, we'll get started then. So like David mentioned, this is our view of DevOps. That's the DevOps story from Microsoft here. And to step back a little bit, we want to talk to you about how it used to be the traditional development and operations teams, how they used to work, or a lot of them still do it this, you know, nowadays. Originally, the development team would just create a package or create a solution that they wanted to get to production and toss it over the wall of confusion to the operations team. The operations team would then start preparing to put that into production and manually change configuration files, create or change the environment in production to make sure that it was appropriate for what they wanted to deploy. And of course, eventually, there was a lot of duplication from what development and QA had to do to what the production operations team was doing. And of course, a lot of times they run into problems, bugs that they couldn't find in development. And then the development team gets called in. You have just that window of time where you can get that solution into production. And development comes, gets called in, and they say, hey, it was working fine on our environment, and now it isn't working in production, so it must be an ops problem. And ops said, well, you gave us something that doesn't work in production, so it's a development problem.
Yeah, so I mean, this is just a one major indicator of people when you know you're not doing DevOps, right?
Like, yeah.
If this is happening, you're not doing DevOps, right? I mean, there's other telltale signs to know that you're not doing DevOps, but this is one that
this
see
a big
lot
one.
That happens, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, ops should really be involved the whole time and then avoiding these things.
Yeah, but. And so what should have been a deployment to production with no problems turns into this major problem with everyone involved getting called into in the middle of the night to fix it.
Yeah.
And sometimes you don't have a specific way to roll back, so you end up with something sort of working in production as well.
If you have a war room for when you do a deployment or a release, yeah, that's not DevOps.
All right,
let's keep
with
going.
That, yeah. What is DevOps? You know, a lot of people have tried to, explain or define what DevOps means. It's very challenging to do that. It's not like there's a manifesto like we had with Agile.
Yeah.
You know, some people say it's a collaboration between development and operations, but from experience, we know that there's a lot more teams that get involved, not only dev and ops, but QA, security, the business, they all have to buy into that culture of DevOps. Some people say it's automation, you know, we have to try to automate your whole environment as much as possible. So we prefer to just tell you what we think DevOps is about.
Yeah. There's one acronym that I like, that's a little more deeper. It's the CALMS, or culture, automation, lean, and metrics, and sharing. Right, it's the other one. But you know, if you think about DevOps at a really high level, right, it's we look at it as it's people. It's about the people. It's, you know, dev, ops, business, everybody really that's involved that needs to deliver value to the business is working very tightly together with that common goal of adding value to your customer. And then next, it's about process, right? Because even if you have those people that are just super good friends and they're working together, but then you've got business processes in place that are really blocking innovation. For instance, you know, long change advisory boards before they can do something, or they're restricted to doing things a certain way that really inhibits that kind of innovation. you know, that's probably, you know, that's part of the bigger picture with DevOps, right? Enabling efficient flow of people working together and not having processes get in the way, but having processes and practices help enable that value delivered to your customers. And then last but not least, we do list products there. And I gotta say, just gotta explicitly call out, DevOps is not a tool or a product. You can't buy the DevOps, all right? There's no such thing as give me the DevOps. Here's my card. I'm gonna buy it, right? You can't do that, right? There's no DevOps in a box. That's magic here. But all that being said, naturally there are products, tools, services that really help enable different DevOps practices and that different teams could use to make things a little bit easier in that world. And we'll kind of break things down a little bit more for you in a second here.
Like David mentioned, it's in this order. So if you have the people or the culture first nailed down, then you look into processes, and then eventually those will help you decide which products will help you implement the culture change or the processes.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter if it's, you know, Microsoft tools or not. I mean, if you start with tools, those tools are going to be only as impactful as the pocket of people who are using them, right? If it's only ops or only dev or only business people, they may be great, good and well, whether they're Microsoft tools or not, but they're really going to have only that limited scope or that limited impact, and you're not going to be doing DevOps just because you got a tool that's doing DevOps practice things, right?
Yep.
So let's keep going,
All right,
so there's, you know, I still, this is becoming less and less of a concern these days, but we still have some folks who are not bought in, right? And it may not be you that's watching this video, but it may be your boss or your boss's boss or somebody else up in the management chain that says, DevOps, we don't need that. We don't have to care about DevOps. That's just a fad or a trend, right? It's cloud or agile. That's just a bunch of smoke, right? I mean, right? DevOps does have actual business impacts, like on, and there are a lot of reasons on why you might want to do it. This slide has a ton of different stats on it. Yeah. I'm not going to go through all of them, but we're just going to leave them here for you, and maybe some of those will resonate with you or other folks that may not be convinced on DevOps. One that I do like to call out is the one on the bottom right-hand corner, which is that how much more the cost is for a bug in production, right? You look there, 100 times more to find a bug in production than it is earlier in the lifecycle. Now, DevOps, there's a lot of different things that can help with that metric, but that's one pain point, just one out of a many here. Getting back to kind of some of the reasons why you might consider or want to move towards a DevOps model.
Cool.
And then this one I like a lot. It is a DevOps report that's been done for a number of years in a row here. It is sponsored by Puppet Labs, but it is nothing in the report is like, hey, go buy this, right? It's a survey of a lot of people in the industry, hundreds of folks all around the world who are implementing DevOps practices, some of which who are not. And there's a lot of good insights behind this. One of the ones that you'll find out in the top left is that high-performing organizations are twice as likely to exceed their profitability, market share, and productivity goals, right? So really there's a bottom dollar here. And so if you're talking to, you know, if you are a decision maker or a boss and you're thinking about this, right? If your competition is making two times as much, or wouldn't you like to make two times as much money by doing these kinds of things, right? So that was the real data that we found. Also, how do you get to become a highly performing, you know, IT performing organization? Well, they found that DevOps practices actually improve the IT performance. And we'll explain to you in a second what that means. The other big thing that I find that's really important to point out here is on the stats on the right-hand side. And you'll see that most organizations, right, they have goals, especially if you're in a siloed organization or you have metrics that are not shared across dev and ops. This is a common scenario that you'll have is developers, they'll be geared at deploying new features, new code, new software at a fast rate. Like, get the new features out there. You know, even if you're doing agile, it's like align it to the business and be happy, right? That conflicts with what most ops teams' goals are, which is have things very stable, have very little change, right? Don't disturb what's working, because every time you push stuff there, it's going to break stuff, and that causes outages, right? And so when you have these two goals, it seems like more change and less change, and they kind of butt heads, right?
it's the exact opposite.
Yeah, exact opposite, right? And so the stats on the right-hand side are, I like to say, is a proof point that you can have both, right? You can have your cake and you can eat it too, right? You can have more change and more stability at the same time. By implementing DevOps. And the proof here is in the stats, right? High-performing organizations deploy code 30 times faster and 200 times shorter lead time, meaning new concept of idea to customers' hands, right? That's 200 times faster than their lower-performing peers. And also, at the same time, have 60 times fewer failures and recover from those failures 168 times faster. So that's a pretty big difference, right? Yeah. I mean, if you're an organization and perhaps you're the lower performing and you have somebody, even that's a startup or another competitor who's operating at that kind of velocity, it's like, how long is it going to take for them to surpass you or start taking money away? So I like to say, you know, DevOps is not something, it's like, maybe we'll think about it. It's like, when are you going to go move to DevOps? Not a, should we? I'm not sure. It's just a matter of time, really.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
And then, with all that being said, we still want to help you wrap your head around DevOps, mainly because, you know, there's no specific definition of it, but also there's a lot of products that get associated with DevOps, and the culture. You know, how do you correlate the culture and process and people and the business values that we've been discussing so far with an actual product like a chef recipe with a Linux VM deployed to Azure. So we have this idea of DevOps practices, and we can help you then map between the 100 level to the 300 level through a practice. Like, for example, here we have infrastructure as code, and treating your infrastructure as code, which will be the next episode of the series, and then the actual technologies that you might use to implement that kind of practice, right? And of course, remember, if you don't have the culture nailed down first, then don't try to keep going, you know, change the culture inside the company first. But eventually you will get to implementing this, and because it's an IT organization or part of IT, you will have products and tools that you use to implement them.
Yeah, it's still useful. I mean, it's still useful to understand DevOps practices, right? And what they mean and kind of, you know, what they are, even if you're not fully transformed yet. Because, you know, if and when your company does decide to move to get the DevOps team organizational structure and those things starting to come together, you're going to have skills that can be immediately useful, right? And there's nothing wrong with applying DevOps practices before you get there, right? It's still useful, it's still helpful, right? One of the undercurrents of DevOps is automation. You know, DevOps practices are have an underpinning of automation as well as some of those tools. But the thing is like, if you just go straight to tools, once the team formation organization forms, that the tool set that team uses may be something totally different. But if you understand these DevOps practices, those are going to transcend tools even over time, right? Just these are the way of doing things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So with that, we have this list of DevOps practices. There are a list of practices that we've noticed are pretty common or recur quite a lot in companies that have implemented DevOps properly. And for example, we have infrastructure as code, treating your infrastructure as code, automated testing, you know, running as many tests as possible in an automated fashion, release management, continuous integration and delivery. So there's quite a lot of those. On the left, we have the main ones. And then on the right, there's some of the most advanced ones. And we're going to have one episode for the next eight type of the main ones. And then the last one, we're going to talk a little bit more about the more advanced practices as well. Mm-hmm. And with that, now that we understood what practices are, in what the culture is, then we can start covering a little bit about the tools and products that you can use as well.
Okay. So we want to, you know, really cover the tools at a very high level that Microsoft offers. And the first major, I'd say, tool bucket or suite, I guess if you want to call it, is Azure, right? Microsoft Azure has a ton of different services and a ton of things to offer there. But really having a cloud platform, whether it's Azure Stack, which is the on-premises version of Azure that you could run in your own data center potentially, or our public cloud Azure, both of those provide a ton of different benefits and make things a lot easier for various implementing DevOps practices. Just giving a really simple example, for instance, infrastructure as code. Can you do infrastructure as code without Azure or Azure Stack? Absolutely, you totally can. But you know, Azure makes it easy where that we just provide a platform for provisioning things with like a JSON file. Boom, there you go, right? It makes things a lot easier from provisioning and deprovisioning. And you know, if you want to get a new server, it's not, oh, I need to go a whole process. It's boom, I have it up. It's up in seconds or minutes, and it's done, right? So Azure is our fundamental, one of our fundamental suites here.
Mm. It has a lot of automation that you can take advantage of as well.
Absolutely, yeah. Azure automation. There's a ton of different products within Azure that and services that really help enable different DevOps practices. Next up, I think it's also extremely important to point out that Microsoft Azure is very open. I know we keep beating this drum in a lot of ways, but it's really important that you understand that, you know, to use Microsoft Azure, you can really bring whatever you want, whether it's open source or not, right? You can pick and choose different aspects and enable that within your platform. So even if you want all, you know, have a whole Linux stack, fine. We run Linux in Azure, right? You have MySQL, you have Java, PHP, Ruby, right? There's a whole list here of different options that we all are support and enable on Azure itself. So we really allow you a lot of choices in what you want you're working with for different DevOps practices and tool sets.
Cool.
The other major aspect, I'd say suite of tools or product set that we have at Microsoft that really relates to DevOps practices is Visual Studio Team Services and Team Foundation Server. Visual Studio Team Services used to be called Visual Studio Online, but it is our cloud service, and the TFS would be our on-premises product. We've had TFS around for a really long time, and I think it's really important to point out that both of these suites have a strong foundation for automation and enabling agile as well as various DevOps practices. So, you know, we have an entirely new build system, which is open, cross-plat, flexible. We'll show you just a ton of different partner integrations that we have here today. So both of these products enable way more than just source code and builds, right? And we don't really care which programming language you're using or which you know, type of infrastructure, whether it's open source or not, you're using. This is a really big foundation for us that enables you to use things that you want. The other thing I'll point out is that, you know, we have this cadence at Microsoft and how we enable things. So the Visual Studio Team Services deploys to production roughly every 3 weeks. And every 3 weeks, those features get delivered to you in the public service. And then about once a quarter, those features get pushed back onto an update pack for Team Foundation Server, for those of you who want to, you know, run things on premises. And so it really enables you a lot of flexibility, and you could use certain services in the cloud, you could use certain services on premises. It really just is up to you. The other thing is you can pick and choose. Like, you don't have to go all in to everything, right? You might just use just build, right? Or just release if for one or the other. And you can pick and choose which services you really want to use within this product set.
All right.
Yeah. And then just, again, hammering home the point of our openness and extensibility, right? I mean, this is a huge list of partners and folks that we've enabled on the platform, right? So, you know, a lot of, you see a lot of open source third party partners here. We just had at the Connect conference, we talked about a partnership with Mac in the Cloud, where, you know, if you want to even do iOS Android builds as a service and connect it up to our Visual Studio Team services, that's an option, right? So really, I mean, there's all kinds of options for you, and no matter what walk of life you're in and what kind of apps or things you're developing, you know, we really provide that platform and extensibility for you to choose the types of tools that you want or may be comfortable with, and have kind of best of breed options. I mean, of course you can go all in with everything if you want, but it's totally up to you, right? You could pick and choose tools that you're used to and use our service for other aspects.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then in the next few episodes, we're gonna cover some areas of this as well, with doing everything with Visual Studio Team Services or integrating with other external partners as well. All right, so let's cover the resources as well. You know, some resources that you can go out and research on your own about DevOps as well.
Okay. One of the things that we offer is Microsoft came up with something called the 7 Habits for DevOps Success. This is areas that we've identified from our own experience operating things like Visual Studio Online or Team Services, right, over a number of years, where we see are really important to moving towards DevOps. We have a self-assessment for you to be able to go and take online that will give your company or organization a rough idea of where you're at within these kind of 7 categories that we have, and gives you some suggestions that you might make to help try and improve where you're at to move towards DevOps.
Yeah, and it's pretty helpful for you to identify in each one of those areas where might be the first step that you take towards implementing something in the DevOps path.
Yeah, and I would say, you know, there's a lot of other options right here for a lot of other options here for kind of assessment. You know, the one of the aspects would be what's called a value stream map, and you know, partners, I know that within the technical working group we've done these kind of exercises, but that's one option for assessment of where you're at. There's a lot of different ways to kind of address where are you at in terms of your adoption of DevOps, because as we've kind of mentioned a number of times here, tools is only going to get you so far, and although for the rest of this course, you know, you're going to focus on enabling specific DevOps practices, that is something that you need to address. And there's partners that are out there that can help you with this. There's a number of different things you want to address to start to think about how are we going to tackle the kind of people aspects of bringing together all these folks to deliver value to your customers.
Yeah, we've run a couple of value stream maps, or quite a few of value stream maps exercises with customers of Microsoft, and it's really insightful what you identify by just having all the teams that are involved in the whole life cycle, and figuring out what areas they could improve or what areas they could automate as well. Mm-hmm. So they're definitely worth looking into.
Okay. Next up, another resource for you to check out is learning about how Microsoft does DevOps and the journey that we've made here. There's an Agile story, but there's also a recent DevOps one on how Microsoft has moved along to DevOps. And that is, you know, that's the short URL, akms/rdevopsjourney. But that is, you know, it really provides a good, just some good ideas of how things are actually done. How do they have the roles, how are those different? We have a DevOps Dimension episode, our first episode, in fact. We focused and we interviewed the service engineer, which is effectively ops, and a developer on how they interact and how the roles changed and shifted in this whole transformation. So that's something you can check out, learn more about on this, those links down below.
Cool. Mm-hmm. And we have a few more resources as well for you. First one is optimize your DevOps practices and tools. So that's the main landing page that, on the Microsoft for DevOps. We have our own show that we run as well, where we interview people from external companies, partners, and Microsoft about their DevOps journey. So that's the DevOps Dimension show at aka.ms/DevOps Dimension. We have some technical resources as well on the
Microsoft Virtual Academy, MVA.
Yes, yeah. So there's a ton of content there as well. on MVA, the self-assessment that that David has covered already, and then finally we have a whole lot of hands-on labs that you can then follow along at home. They use the Parts Unlimited and Parts Unlimited MRP samples that we've created so that you can then take those samples and implement some of the technology part of a practice at home or at your own pace.
Yeah.
So in that link is a blog post by David with the list of the both Microsoft and non-Microsoft workload that you can implement some of those practices.
Yeah. Yeah, that may be something that we weave into other places down the road. But the main thing is that, and it's also important to point out, there's two applications. Parts yeah. Unlimited is the is the name of the thing that's referenced in the Phoenix project. In the book. And so we wanted to kind of show you a practical way to implement some of the things that they talked about in the book using Microsoft technologies. It's also important to point out that the Parts Unlimited app is two different apps, right? There's two of them. There's Parts Unlimited, which is a Azure website using SQL Azure, so it's kind of the pure PaaS Azure story.
Microsoft. And,
yeah, the Microsoft story with .NET, right? It's all Microsoft. And then we have the polar opposite of that, which is the Parts Unlimited MRP app, which stands for Manufacturing Resource Planning. It's also referenced in the book. But it is a Linux VM running MongoDB, and the Spring, Java. So it's, you know, with Apache Tomcat, right? It's nothing Microsoft at all, but we're showing you how to, you know, connect that to Azure and Visual Studio Team Services and enable some of those DevOps practices that way.
Yeah. So. And on the next few episodes, we're going to use these two samples as well to show you a few of those implementations. So follow along if you want in the other ones.
Yeah, and then have those hands-on labs if you want to do those exercises yourself.
Yeah. Yeah,
totally.
All right.
Okay.
We have a final slide.
So now, yes. Now we have, you know, we're hoping that, you know, through this series and other things, that you would be able to have happy DevOps. Really break down, right, this wall. Don't have any explosions, right? Break down the wall of confusion. Have DevOps get along. Start delivering, right? Start delivering those applications. And then start to really deliver those applications faster, right? Faster and faster until eventually you're going to have the awesome, right? The T-Rex Ninja Cat action that's it.
So. All right. So I hope you enjoyed this introduction to DevOps. And look out for the other DevOps Fundamentals episodes that we'll have coming up in the next couple of months. Thank you.